Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. I was talking to my guest ahead of time, and y'all, this episode, you're just going to want to get out your pen and paper and be prepared to be so blessed and refreshed by this topic, because no matter where you are in life, I have a feeling that you may be feeling a little overwhelmed, maybe exhausted, maybe just tired. And you're like, I think this is just how it has to be. Well, Alyssa Joy Bethke is here to tell us that it doesn't have to be that way. She has a new book, When Doing It All is Undoing You, Meeting God and Your Unmet Expectations. And I was just going to say that at the beginning of the book, I love you have this quiz that is about whether you're exhausted or not, and to kind of just take a pulse on how you're feeling. And I took the quiz and I was like, I think I'm in pretty good shape. I'm trying to find the quiz here and see where my results were. But I scored a 34. And you said if you scored 30 or more, you may be tired and needing some deep refreshment for your soul. And just that phrase, deep refreshment for your soul, I was like, yeah, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
So before we dive into the contents of this book, can you take a minute and just tell us a little bit about yourself and your family and a big thing that just happened in your life that involved a lot of miles?
Thanks so much for having me on, Crystal. This is so fun. My name is Alyssa, and I am a mom to three kids, 10, 8, and 5. And my husband and I have been in ministry since we got married. He had a video go viral before we got married. And so it kind of launched us into this podcast author world, which is so cool because I remember when we were dating, we were both like, wouldn't it be so cool if we could be authors? And just one of those things like, that'll never happen. Mm-hmm. And so it's been really fun the last 12 years to create content to encourage people, families, marriages. And now we're really focusing on men and women and formation. So we have lived in Maui, Hawaii the last 10 years. We raised our three babies there. Perfect place to raise babies. So dreamy. But we just moved to Tennessee and live just down the street from you. So it's so fun.
Well, we're so happy to have you here. And you were talking about creating content. I was just curious, what would you say? So YouTube was where your husband started, mm-hmm. and it just kind of happened. Like it wasn't ever, did he have a strategy? Was he setting out to like,
oh my goodness, happened? It's so funny because he went to school for poli sci. I don't joke with him because I'm like, this totally could have happened. He could have been like the lead lawyer in New York, like he, or FBI agent, like he is crazy smart. But he wanted to teach in the inner cities. And after he graduated college, he got denied everywhere, which is so crazy. Mm. And he was living in a house with 10 other guys in a bunk bed, working at a community center, like making $0, commuting 2 hours every day. And he had created this spoken word in college, which is like really popular back then. He basically like would have Bible studies in his dorm, and he went to a really liberal college and no one would come. And so they had this like talent show night that everyone would come to. He's like, well, I can't sing, I can't play an instrument, but I can write a spoken word. And so he did it. It did so great. It was about Jesus and why he's greater than religion. And so then in Christmas break, he was really bored. And so his friend was like, let's just go to Stadium. If you've ever seen 10 Things I Hate About You, that school, which was down the street from us. They're like, let's create like a super cool video and I'll do the spoken word and maybe my mom and 10 other people will see it. And he posted it. And this is when things on YouTube like would go viral. And so he posted it. And then the next morning, there was 1 million views. Wow. And it just was like launched him into this whole ministry where he was traveling and speaking. And
had he posted on YouTube before then?
No, that was the first time. Well, he did like his old name actually, I think it still is B-Ball 1989, because he was born in 1989. And he would just do like these funny videos of him and his high school buddies. And he had to like, he deleted those after he kind of went viral. And he's like, darn, I wish I had that still, because they were just really funny. But nothing like, no content, you know, it was just like funny, silly things that boys do. So yeah, it just launched us into this world.
And so then, so when you got married, he had already had this video go viral. Mm-hmm. And so then did he end up having other videos go viral?
Yeah.
And
well, maybe not. Yes, but nothing like that one. Okay. But he did create a lot of YouTubes for years, more spoken words. And then after a while, he was like, I don't really love spoken word. It was just a form that I could get, you know, the gospel out. Mm-hmm. But, and so once we got married, we started to do like dating videos and marriage videos. And yeah, it was just really cool. It was fun. We don't do as much YouTube anymore, but that was definitely what started it all.
And so you're talking about creating content for men and women now. Mm-hmm. So is that mostly through book form, or would you say Instagram? Like, what is the platform that you're mostly using to share that content?
It actually happened probably during COVID. My husband linked up with John Tyson, who's a pastor in New York, amazing, incredible thinker of our time. And they do a lot of retreats. So I would feel like that is the foundation. They do men's retreats in Texas, like 4 times a year. And then out of that, they've had curriculum, cohorts, and then their book came out last spring, Fighting Shadows, about for like men, like the 7 shadows that we fight and how to come into the light. So that's kind of their content. And then we are starting to dream up and be like, okay, what would it look like to do Forming Women? Mm-hmm. And so this book that is coming out is like kind of the start of that. But mm-hmm. I'm starting to dream up, okay, what would retreats look like for women and curriculum for them? So I have a lot of dreams and a lot of ideas, but that's kind of what we're doing right now.
And so this topic, tell us how, you know, if you're, this is kind of going to launch something for women, is what your hope and dream mm-hmm. is. Why did you choose this topic?
Yeah, well, it was one of those things where I had signed a 2-book contract. And so I had Satisfied come out a few years ago. And they're like, hey, Lissa, what's your next book? And it's one of those things you're like, I don't know. Do I have another book in me? You know? And then you start to look at your life. And I started to really ask a lot of women, survey women on Instagram, and then the retreats that I was leading in other areas. And I was like, okay, what do women need? And mm-hmm. I feel like really looking and seeing there is such a pressure for women to be it all, do it all at once. And I feel that pressure as a mom of 3. I can see that all over Instagram, whether you are married, have kids, single, divorced, whatever season of life you are. I feel like even teenage girls, I feel like there is this pressure for women. I think it comes, there's a lot I could say about that, but I think it comes from, there's so many opportunities for women, which is amazing in our day and age. I love that. But I think a lot of opportunities can quickly become expectations mm-hmm. of like, oh, I have all these opportunities, so I should do it. Mm-hmm. My life should look like that. And then really looking at my own life, and it was a few years ago, we had moved, we still lived on Maui, but we moved 45 minutes away. We had bought this beautiful house, because we really dreamed of hosting people. So many people come to Maui to rest and to vacation. And we really wanted a place where we could host families. Like, it's just so expensive to travel to Maui. So we were like, we want to host families so they could have vacations. We want to host pastors that are really burned out and tired. And you kind of have to move up to the mountains in Maui to afford that, because the beach is so expensive. So we got this place and it was beautiful, but it needed a total gut renovation. And so we had had 6 months of a renovation. And you know, anyone who does a renovation, it's just, it's exhausting. You're like, it's 3 times the amount you think you'll spend, 3 times the amount of time you think. And then once we moved in, it still wasn't what, you know, you still had so many things to do, but you're out of a budget. And so my kids were really little. It was a lot of solo parenting at that time because my husband was doing the renovations. And really what was going on is I am a natural peacemaker at heart. I think a lot of women are peacemakers, but as Enneagram 9, that is like a high value. I don't like conflict. And I just had this, I thought it was my responsibility as a mom to manage everyone in my household's emotions. Mm. So It was up to me whether the day went well or not. It was up to me whether my kids had tantrums or not. It was my job to make everyone happy. And I wouldn't have been able to name that at all back then, but it was just so much pressure. And then when it doesn't happen. And so I think I had just stuffed my feelings for so long, tried to numb it, being like, no, life is okay. And then my husband and I had divided and conquered, which some seasons you have to, but it was just too long of doing that. So I was like, okay, now that we're moved into our home, well, how do we do family life? What are rhythms? How does our marriage work again? Remind me of all these things. And I was just coming undone. And I had this moment I write in the book where I was talking to my husband out on our porch and I just started crying. And I was like, I am not okay. And he was trying to comfort me, trying to encourage me, trying to like fix it. And I knew no matter what he said, I'm like, no, I'm not okay. Nothing is going to help. And then we went into this year where I was homeschooling and my oldest daughter was really struggling. We couldn't get through a day without a lot of tears. You know, and I just had so many ideals. This is a whole nother story, but like so many ideals of what homeschooling would look like. I thought I would be the mom in a beautiful floral print dress under the shady tree with fresh made muffins. And all my kids are just so like loving all the books I'm reading and the breeze is cool, you know, and we're doing watercolor. And there were moments like that, but for the most part, homeschool did not look like that at all. And I was starting to break down and having these meltdowns, and my daughter was having these meltdowns, and I was just not doing well. And I called one of my mentors. I like to call him a friend-tor because they're a friend but a mentor. And I was just telling her what was going on. And she said to me, Alyssa, I think you need to take a season where you tend to your heart. Hmm. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? What do you mean? Like, I have things to do. I have responsibilities. I don't even know what that looks like. And it was one of those things where I didn't need permission, but she gave me permission of like, no, you need a season, however long it's going to take, where you take time to be curious with your heart, self-aware, and you let the Lord care for you. And I was like, okay. And she's like, your kids will be okay. If you don't do any school for the rest of the year, they will be okay. Like your greatest gift to your family is your healthy, whole self. Mm-hmm. And I needed to hear that as a mom because I did not believe that. I thought my greatest gift to my family was the things I could do for them mm-hmm. or like, you know, them checking off certain milestones in their life. And so all that to say, it was really like this undoing and then this entering into the season of really caring for my heart, taking time, slowing down, letting the feelings arise instead of numbing them, naming desires that I had that weren't being fulfilled, naming disappointments, seeking counselors. That really has transformed my life and where this book came from.
So a season of undoing. I think a lot of women, we know deep down, we're just stuffing a lot of things. As you were saying that, it reminded me, okay, total confession here. But before you came, I was sweeping the floor in the office because it was really dirty and I didn't have time to go get the dustpan. And I literally just swiped it all under the rug. Yes. And I was thinking as I did it, how this is what we do in our hearts so
yes,
much. And I was like,
a great metaphor.
This goes along with your book so much because we so often, it's like, we see all this stuff. It's like we're sweeping it all up and we see this pile of stuff. We're like, I don't have time. I don't have energy. I'm just going to stuff it under this rug. And, you know, but we can't do that for forever, as you found. Like, eventually you're like, I'm not okay. Mm-hmm. So tell us for all of us who maybe we are kind of feeling like you felt of, I don't have time. Like, there are so many people that need me in my life, whether you're married or not, have kids or not. There are people who are depending upon you and you feel like you need to be doing all these things. Mm-hmm. So how do we take the space and the time to walk through that season of undoing? And especially, I feel like it's scary.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I would say we don't really have the option not to take the time. Mm. I think we are doing ourselves a huge disservice if we don't. And we think that it's for other people. We think, no, like I don't have time because I need to serve this person or take care of my family or be available at work or please these people, take care of them, but really we can't show up fully alive and give refreshment and give the love and care that we want to give people unless if we take the time to really care for our heart. And so I think realizing like, no, this isn't an option. It's actually a necessity. Mm-hmm. And that your greatest gift to other people is your transformed self. Mm-hmm. And so when you take the time, and I'm not talking about self-care necessarily. I love a good manicure. I love a good shopping spree. I love going to the coffee shop, but I'm talking about like soul care. Like, how are you really doing? There's this great quote I read recently that was saying, we're all self-conscious, but most of us are not self-aware. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to take the time to be self-aware of what's going on in our heart. Because if anyone can relate to this, if we don't, it starts coming out sideways. Mm-hmm. Like, gosh, why did I just lash out at my husband like that? Why is that bothering me so much? It's because we're not taking the time to really process our feelings. What bothered us? Why did that trigger us? Why does that make me feel very tender? But when we actually take the time, when we actually go to God with that, then we can find real healing, real understanding. And it's like this having so much compassion for ourselves. And I think what you said is so key of it's really scary. I think a lot of times for women, it's like, okay, I know that I need to go there, but what will happen once I go there? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really want to open that Pandora box. Even a couple nights ago, we're kind of going through something really hard in our home. And my husband went to bed and I was like, okay, I'll come in a little bit. And I just wasn't tired. And so I was like, you know, scrolling Instagram, starting to shop, all that thing. I finally go to bed at midnight, which is so crazy for me because I'm like barely can make it to 9 p.m. And I lay down in bed and I can't fall asleep. And all of a sudden it just starts bubbling out of me. Mm-hmm. And I'm crying myself to sleep. And I'm like, oh, that's why I didn't want to go to bed. Because I knew that this was in here and I didn't want to deal with it. And so I think it's so normal to really fear what's going on in there. But I think we stay really stuck when we don't go there. Mm. And there's actually a real gift when we can let it out, when we can be honest with ourselves, honest with God, honest with others of what is really going on. You know, I love the Bible and I love the Psalms. And so many of the Psalms, you think of the Psalms as like songs of joy and celebration, but so much of it is actually songs of lament. Mm. And I think we just don't know as the church, as culture, how to lament. And it's human. Like there are things in life that are really disappointing, that are really hard, that life doesn't go the way we expect it to, no matter how hard we try. And that actually learning to be able to grieve, learning to be able to name those griefs, to cry, to not have it all fixed up with a bow right away is actually the exact thing that we need to move through that grief. Because if we don't name it and we don't move through it, then we just stay stuck and part of our heart stays dead.
Mm. So good. I also think, at least for me, it's if I let those feelings bubble out, then I start feeling like I'm out of control.
Yeah.
And I like to be in control, or at least the illusion of control. Right. You talk about that in the book. And I related to that so much. It was funny because I was at the dentist yesterday. I do not like going to the dentist. And I feel like I always avoid the dentist. Yesterday, it had been 2 years and 7 months since I'd been to the dentist. And that's not the longest time it's been in the past. But I was thinking, why do I not like this? It's because I feel like I'm not in control. Like it's this vulnerable thing. They're like all up in my business and like I can't swallow when I want to swallow and I just can't get up out of the chair. And and I was thinking how, you know, when we let those feelings out, for me, it's that scary thing of I know I'm not going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And then when I know that I'm not okay, then I feel like I'm out of, like I'm not in control.
Yeah. So good.
But that's the place where God wants us to be, because it's only then that we can release that control to him, because ultimately he is in control. Right. Like we're not in control. Yes.
This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. And I feel like I need to preface what I'm going to say with this.
I'm a huge advocate of breastfeeding. Anyone who knows me well knows that nursing is something I believe in, and all five of our biological children were breastfed until they were 19 to 23 months old. However, we also have fostered and adopted, and I've been so grateful for formula companies in those situations. I'm also grateful for formula companies because our last two biological children, I really struggled with my supply and did all the things, spent so much time and effort, and just was never able to produce enough for them to be able to gain weight and not be hungry. And so I was so grateful for companies like ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy to digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. They're made with certified clean ingredients. It has no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code CRYSTAL for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. So go to byheart.com/podcast and use CRYSTAL to get your welcome offer. When you think of summer, do you think of grilling out? I know I do. That smell of burgers on the grill, that sound of the sizzling, and that taste when you just bite into the perfect brat or burger. And you know what you need? You gotta have a bun. And for some people who maybe you're watching what you're eating, you're like, have you looked at the ingredients in those buns? I'm just gonna eat it plain. But that's no fun. Well, Hero Bread is here to be a hero because they reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. I looked at the package because I ordered some to try before I did this ad. Y'all, I could not believe what I read. And it tasted quite good. One of my favorite ways was to toast the bread and then put some Laughing Cow cheese on it so that you're still not having a lot of fat, and then sprinkle it with some Truvia and cinnamon. So good, and packs nutritional punch. The texture is just like regular bread, very soft and fluffy. And the best part about it is that it packs a nutritional punch. 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and high in fiber. So you don't have to stop eating bread or not have a bun on that juicy hot dog or your BLT sandwich or that sizzling burger. Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code CRYSTAL at checkout. So that's CRYSTAL at HERO.CO. Hero.co to get 10% off. Use coupon code CRYSTAL. As we're headed into the back to school season, I know many of us parents, we want to make sure that our children are getting the help that they need when it comes to subjects in school, areas maybe that they're struggling in, help with homework, areas that they're excelling in, maybe not getting challenged enough in class. Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies, and it's designed to help kids really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. I was first introduced to IXL a few years ago when Silas's math class, his teacher changed to using this. And it was really, the goal of it was so that they could get a better read on where all of the kids in the class were doing and where they needed to be challenged more, where they were struggling. And I loved the real-time feedback. The other thing is that it really challenged Silas because he's someone who's kind of independently motivated, and he loved that he could work ahead and work at his own pace. And he wanted to see those stats and see the results. And he ended up being able to then move up in math to a different level because he was so motivated and they saw that he was really doing well based upon his stats from IXL. So I'm really grateful for IXL because it just helped him to be able to be more challenged when it came to math. This program will improve your kids' grades. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. It also will work for any of your kids. There are advanced algorithms that power it, so IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. Also, one subscription to IXL gets you everything. So if you have kids different ages in your home, pre-K to 12th grade, IXL covers it all. Also, it can save you money because instead of hiring a tutor, you might be able to just use IXL, and a single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And my podcast listeners, listeners of the Crystal Payne Show, can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. So visit IXL.com today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
So you talk about this framework that your friend Tristan Collins, you said mm-hmm. as a trauma therapist, gives you this great framework for understanding our emotions, the three N's: notice, name, and navigate. I think that would be really helpful to give people something practical. Like as you're thinking, okay, I know I have these emotions, but I don't know how to kind of start processing through that. Mm-hmm. And so you want to walk us through what this could look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so good. I'm glad you brought that up. And I love the three N's because I feel like it's very sticky. Like you can remember that. So I think one thing, the three N's, notice. So she talks a lot about how our body actually is what tells us what we're feeling. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I think in America, in the church, we have we've separated body and mind and spirit, but really we're one whole person. We're integrated, and our bodies tell us what is going on. And so, but the key is we have to slow down enough to see what our bodies are doing. So I think a really practical thing is just to, which might feel scary, and you might need to lock yourself in a closet or go to the bathroom, like just get 2 minutes alone. And if you just sit really still, and maybe you like sit with your hands open. You might put on, I love putting on soaking music, just like piano music, anything that's just really calming. And just sit still and notice your body. Is there anything in your body that is hurting, that feels tight, that maybe all of a sudden you feel shortness of breath or like a tight chest? And then be curious with that. Okay, why am I feeling that? Why is my chest tight right now? Or why is my neck aching? Or why do I have a really bad headache? And then see what may come out. So it might be like, oh, I feel really tight chest right now because I actually feel really anxious. Mm-hmm. Okay, what do I feel really anxious about? Well, I feel really anxious about whatever it may be. Maybe your kids are starting school and you're not sure how they're going to adjust or how they're going to do. Maybe you feel really anxious about a financial thing. And then being able to say, okay, what, it could be myriad of things. What does God say about that? What is the truth? What is there something I can do about that? Like, what is mine to do? I think a lot of times we feel like we need to do everything or be responsible for everything, but really we're not. And it's usually so much more gracious than we give ourselves. And so just be like, okay, in this situation, what is mine to do? And so the three N's, and so that literally could be 2 minutes. It might take longer. I've had moments where I'm like sitting there and after 2 minutes, all of a sudden I'm weeping because I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was in there. Okay. But it's like so healing of, wow, I'm really noticing and being self-aware of what is going on in my body and my heart and in my mind.
Mm-hmm. So notice, name, and navigate. When you're feeling, I think for me, I notice that stress or that feeling of tension in my heart or that I'm snapping at someone else, mm-hmm. like those are warning flags to me. Yes. Like something is not okay. Mm-hmm. And so just stop and just be like, what is going on? where is this coming from? And I like to even go deeper. Mm-hmm. You know, like if like I'm anxious about my kids at school in this situation, where's that coming from? Because a lot of times because I dig deeper, I'm like, actually, because I'm afraid of what somebody's going to think about me. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm afraid of my reputation in front of, you know, and so it's the surface level thing is, you know, the anxiety is showing up in that, but there's something deeper at the root. And so I love how you talk about, you know, what is mine to do about this? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's just opening up our hands and saying, God, I can't do this on my own. Right. I need your help and just releasing it to him. And other times it's like, we need to go have a conversation with somebody. We need to ask forgiveness,
right, you know,
or we just need to take care of ourselves, you know, like we need to take a nap or
drink some water.
Yes. Eat some protein.
I love that you said that though about anxiety and fear, because Chip Dodd has a great book. I don't know if you've read it, Voice of the Heart, that was such, it is one of my favorite books. I recommend it to everybody because it gives such language for feelings. I still am learning how to name my feelings. Mm-hmm. And so basically his whole outline is he believes there's 8 main feelings and that feelings are not bad or good. They're morally neutral, but that they're all telling us something. And they all have opportunities to go to unhealth or health. Mm-hmm. And so what he says about anxiety, which is so helpful for me because I do struggle with anxiety a lot. I think a lot of women do. Mm-hmm. But he actually says that anxiety is not a feeling, but it actually is showing us that there is some fear underneath it. Mm-hmm. And so when we can actually name the fear, that's when we can have healing. But if we don't name the fear, then we kind of just stay in this anxious cycle. And so I love what you said there about like, okay, I'm feeling anxious about my kids going to school, but what is really under there? Oh, I have a fear about my reputation. And so I think that is so key that if you today are feeling anxious or you start to feel anxious this week, to just take time to be like, okay, is there a fear behind this? Mm-hmm. And then once we name the fear, that's when we can speak truth over it or work through it. But until we do that, we kind of just stay in this anxious cycle. Mm.
Sometimes for me, it's also helpful to be like, what's the worst thing that could happen? Which sounds so negative, but to let myself go to the place of what is the ultimate worst thing that could happen in this situation? And sometimes you're like, oh, that's actually not that bad, you know? And and that'll just help relieve some fear, or I'll go to that place and be like, that would be really hard, but what is the truth in that? Mm-hmm. Like God would still be good and still be faithful even if that happened. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's just really helpful to just go there versus trying to avoid it.
Yes, so good. We like to say, my friend always says this, your what if, have it become an even if. Mm. So like getting to that place of, okay, even if my worst fear does happen, what is the truth? And being able to cling to that. And I think too, another thing I'm really learning about fears is often they are futuristic. Mm. And Anne Voskamp wrote this in her Christmas devotion that I have thought about for like the last 10 years of how God's love goes there too. And I think a lot of times when I'm fearing future things, I'm not taking into account God's love. But when I actually stop, I'm like, oh, the one thing I can count on in life is God's unconditional love does not change. It is there. His grace is sufficient for today. His grace will be sufficient for tomorrow. And so I can trust that he will be with me in it and I'm not alone. So remembering that too is just something I've always clung to.
Mm, that's so good. Okay. I love this part of your book where you talk about Jesus didn't come for you to have self-care, which, you know, I think sometimes we can fall prey to feeling like the good life, like that's what we're supposed to be seeking after. And you say, fighting with the Holy Spirit's power, with the Holy Spirit's wisdom, with the Holy Spirit's help. Jesus did not come for you to have self-care. Jesus did not come for you to have every opportunity to be a girl boss. Mm-hmm. Jesus did not come for you to live a well-adjusted and easy life that looks like you checked off all the marks on your journey. Jesus came to win your heart back to his. Mm-hmm. That is so powerful. And it really turns on its head, I feel like, what culture is constantly screaming at us.
Yes.
That we're supposed to be pursuing our own comfort, ease, and happiness. Mm-hmm. And yet we look at Jesus and his life. That is not how he lived at all. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes he calls us to things that are really hard.
Yeah.
But it's about our heart in it. Mm-hmm. Can you share, as you have walked through this journey, this undoing, what does it look like to sit in that space of just really seeing him care about your heart?
Yeah, I love what you said. And I think that is such a, man, I think so many of us have bought this lie that the Christian life should be happy and God should answer all my prayers. And it should be, we wouldn't say comfortable and easy, but I think that's what we ultimately think. Like, mm-hmm. if I obey God, then this should happen. Kind of a formula. We want the formula. Okay, Lord, how can I share myself? Which is really like we're anxious. And so we want control. We want predictability. We don't like things to be uncertain. How can I share myself of a life that is good? Mm-hmm. I think especially, you know, I'm like, in my late 30s, I think a lot of 30-year-olds start to come to this place of disillusionment. Like, oh, I thought that if I did X, Y, and Z, my life would look like this, and it's not. When really God never promised that. He promised to give us full life and joy, but that is so much different than we Americans think. Full life is a life that is full of the Spirit, and that is intimately connected with him and attached to him, trusting him in a deep relationship with him, and one where we live on mission to bring the kingdom to earth. And I think formation, like when we become more like Christ, it's not for our ease or our self-care, but it's for a cruciform life to be more like Jesus. And so if your life is looking more and more like Jesus, and maybe there is more suffering or pain, mm-hmm. you're probably doing something right. And I think, you know, for me, like I don't want the pain. I don't want the hard. I remember telling my mentor, I was like, okay, I'm reading James 1, and it says to count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of all kinds. And I am counting it as a curse. Like, this does not feel like a gift to me. This feels like a curse. And I was so, I remember that moment. I was in my closet and I was crying, talking over the phone. But I'm so grateful for that moment because it was the first time where I could name it and just be honest. Like, Lord, this feels like a curse. This is so hard. This is not what I signed up for. This is not what I thought life would look like. And once I was able to say that, then I feel like weeks, months went by of learning. I just read in Psalms 119 today that it was good that I was afflicted so that I could learn your goodness and your law. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times God doesn't cause the hard, but he is faithful to redeem it. And he is faithful to grow us in that, to mature us. If you think of the valley, like valleys in nature, and you're like, gosh, I don't want to walk through the valley. I don't want to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But actually, that is where all the fruit is produced. Like, if you think of California and all the orange trees, they're in the valley. And so that actually, when we walk through really hard times and valleys in our life that really uncomfortable, whether it's just in the day where your toddler was screaming in the car and threw crackers everywhere, and you had to walk out of the store with a screaming child, or it's the really hard heart things, that actually when we walk through it, and when we turn to the Lord and seek him in it, that is where actually he is doing really good fruit, that nothing is in vain in the Lord. And so I think there's great hope there of even in the really hard, which won't last forever. The morning will come, but that he is actually doing a really beautiful work in us.
I know there are so many people listening who are walking through really hard things, really deep, dark, difficult things. And I just know that your words are going to be so encouraging to them. And just to think of the fruit is in the valley. And we want to avoid that, but that's where the refining and the beauty really comes from, is in those really, really hard places and spaces. Thank you, Alyssa, so much for writing this book. I showed you that I have so many pages dog-eared and so many things underlined. It was funny because I couldn't dog-ear. Sometimes I wanted to dog-ear both pages front and back because there was so much good stuff. But I would encourage everyone to get a copy. When Doing It All is Undoing You, Meeting God and Your Unmet Expectations. It's just packed with powerful encouragement to be able to really get to the heart of what God wants for us as Christians, and to that space of living out of rest Not that life is going to be perfect, not that life is going to be smooth sailing, but that God is going to be faithful in the midst of whatever it is that comes our way.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.